Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Presenting the world's greatest mysteries. And now, your host.
This is Basil Rathbone. Everybody loves a mystery, and I'm no exception. And that's why it gives me so much pleasure to act as your guide on this series. You see, we've gathered together some of the finest mystery stories in the world. Stories from many places and from many times. Some of them are up to date, well, as up to date as today's newspaper. Others are classic stories of the past. But today's mystery, for instance, it takes place in Europe, the Europe of modern times, a world of intrigue and suspense where a man's life can count for very little when a country's future is at stake. Mike, our storyteller, works in the Paris office of a famous American newspaper. His job is to look for the stories that make the news, and he finds them in the places where the news is made. In a moment, our play begins.
Presenting Europe Confidential.
And do not get any ideas yourself, Canoy. I was here at the club last night, and Louise can prove it.
Yeah, so she can. Well, if you ever change your mind about that, you know where to find me. At the office.
Get out of here.
I'll be there all day.
I said get out, and take your crazy friend with you.
In a moment, we'll bring you Lionel Merton as Mike Canoy, the Paris correspondent of a famous American newspaper, in another exciting story in our series, Europe Confidential.
This is Mike Canoy. Across the square from my office in Paris, there's a fountain erected as a monument to some city father of years gone by. The name of the elder statesman isn't important to this story, but the fountain itself is. At night, it's floodlit, and from my office window, I can see the fountain and the groups who gather to make it a meeting place. Some nights I could single out François Devin, where the crowds were less dense than usual, but whether I could see him or not, I knew he'd always be there. It was something of a legend around the square, François' devotion. Well, in a city like Paris, that really counts for something. The tale was told to me first many months before by a bartender in the Café d'Alsace, a knowledgeable lad named Philippe.
There is a story you shall write, Monsieur Canoy.
Uh-huh.
That boy, waiting out there by the fountain, you see the one I mean?
Who is he, Philip?
Oh, he is nobody important. His name is François Devin. I think he is a clerk in a government office, but every night he waits there.
For whom?
Her name is Florette. She is a dressmaker's apprentice. She comes to meet him at night when the clock in the square strikes eight.
Every night?
They have not missed a meeting once in the 4 months, ever since they first met here in this bar.
Some romance, huh? She must be quite a girl.
Oh, she is not, how you would say it, beautiful. Just a nice girl with a nice smile.
Mm-hmm.
But they are in love. And every night she crosses the square to meet him. And it makes all of our hearts a little lighter to see the way they meet. You shall write a story about it, Monsieur Conroy. It will be something for your column.
My friend Philippe, the barman, is an incurable romantic. I explained to him that stories are not found in two ordinary people being happy together. Yet, in spite of that, I found myself becoming interested in the meetings of François Devin and his Florette. In time, I got to know François, just casually. Once I rated an introduction to Florette. She was a nice girl, too. She was his first love. There'll never be another quite the same. I guess, like everyone else in the quarter, I got pretty fond of the two of them. Well, then, a couple of nights ago, I was on my way to circulate through the city in search of copy. I passed the fountain. It was a few minutes off eight, and François was waiting.
Monsieur Conroy.
Hi, François.
Hi.
Not being stood up, are you?
Stood up? Oh, no, not stood up. It is only 2 minutes to eight. Florette will be here soon.
Yeah, you're a lucky guy.
I am lucky. Florette and I, we are lucky together.
Well, you look after her, kid. They don't come along every day of the week.
I know what you mean.
Maybe you'll let me buy you and Florette a drink or a cup of coffee. I'll be over in Philippe's bar if you care to join me.
Oh, merci, Monsieur Conroy. That is kind of you. Florette would like it.
Okay, then. I'll be at the corner table. So long.
Au revoir, Monsieur Conroy.
I walked away, not wanting to intrude on the moment when they met. As I reached the opposite side of the square, the clock in the church tower struck the hour of eight. I stood for a moment, watching the people pass, and then behind me, on the side of the square, screened from my view, I heard it happen. A woman screamed, a car skidded. I sensed, rather than heard, it rev its motor and roar away, and as I turned and ran toward the scene of the accident... Excuse me, sorry. Look, if you don't mind, thanks. François, you here? What happened? I saw a car tear off. It was too far away to get the number. Looked like a hit and run. Well, what... François...
He did not even stop. Just drove away.
Florette.
He did not even stop.
Well, I'll call an ambulance and a doctor.
No. She does not need them. Not anymore. Let go of me. Let me out of here.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Where are you going?
I'm going to find him. I'm going to find the man who killed her. I'm going to find him.
In time of stress, no two people react the same way. I knew that when François Devin ran from the scene of the accident, he was suffering from shock and grief. I knew just as surely that for his own safety, I had to find him. But a sudden surge of the gathering crowd separated us. By the time I disentangled myself from people around me, François had disappeared. By then, the police had arrived and were busy questioning witnesses. So I stayed to see if anything would come of that. About an hour later, I was talking to Sergeant Lemaire of the local precinct about his lack of progress.
Monsieur Conroy, you can put this in your column. People who run an innocent girl down and refuse to stop, they are just as much a killer as a man with a gun or a knife.
I'll quote you, Sergeant. Didn't anybody see the number of the car?
Everyone is concerned with their own affairs. By the time the car accelerates, it is too late.
But it seems impossible in a busy place like this that nobody'd get the number.
No, it is an unfortunate fact. And now, we must find the fiancé. Nobody seems to know where he has gone.
Oh, I guess he'll turn up. Poor kid. He hardly had time to realize what had happened. Must have been right in front of his... Yeah, that's right. Right in front of his eyes.
What bothers you, Monsieur Canoy?
I'm not sure yet. Just an idea. I'll work on it. Good night, Sergeant. In Paris, government offices open at 9 a.m., and promptly at that time the following morning, I was at the door of the motor registry office. But at first, I seemed to have drawn a blank. There was no sign of François Devin, and the clerk at the desk did not seem to remember him.
Monsieur, I cannot recall any one of this description. Besides, we have only just opened. Except for a telephone call, you yourself are the first customer this morning.
Well, maybe I'm too early then. Mind if I wait?
If you have the time to spare, you will not object if I resume my work.
No, go right ahead. Say, did you just mention a telephone call?
Oui, monsieur. A gentleman wished to know the ownership of a car bearing a certain number. That is why we are here. I gave him the information.
The guy on the phone, did he sound young?
Youngish. A little excited, I thought.
He gave you a car number and asked for the owner's name and address?
Oui.
Well, can you give me that same information?
Oh, monsieur, what is the purpose of this inquiry? Is there some reason...
There's some reason why you should tell me. Sure, there is. A very good reason. I'm trying to prevent murder.
Monsieur.
Just give me the name and address. Quick, it's important.
The number of the car was 845-CT-716.
Look, never mind that.
The owner's name is Henri Lafarge.
Lafarge? The nightclub king?
I wouldn't know, but his address listed here is the Club Flamingo, Rue de Midi, Paris.
I knew Lafarge, all right. Without being told, I knew where to find him. I went to the Club Flamingo on the Rue de Midi, and after being kept waiting about 10 minutes, I was shown into Henri Lafarge's private office. Sumptuously furnished, if you like glitter and leopard skin. Lafarge himself, thick-set, gray-haired, faced me from behind a massive desk. There was a blonde over in the corner whom I recognized. The club's latest songbird, Lafarge's regular companion. We were introduced.
Thierry, I want you to meet Mike Conoy, who writes the column Euro Confidential. Conoy, this is Louise Ferrier. You should give her a mention in your column sometime.
Well, nice to meet you, Miss Ferrier.
I have heard of you.
Now, Thierry, it is too early in the morning, huh? Sit down, Canoy. What is on your mind?
A girl who was knocked down last night in a square outside our office block.
What are you saying?
Knocked down by a car. She died. The police are looking for the hit-and-run merchants.
What is this? Some kind of conspiracy, eh?
I guess somebody beat me to it, did they?
There was a young fool here just before you arrived. Had a gun with him, mouthing all kinds of stupid threats. Now you...
Well, Lafarge, just for the record, where were you last night around 8?
I was here at the club. Louise was with me.
Is that right, Miss Ferrier?
Of course it's right. Isn't it, Louise?
Oui.
She was a nice girl. This gal was killed. You should read my column this morning and find out.
We don't take your paper. Whatever ridiculous idea made you come around here, Canoy, you'd better get it out of your head fast. That kid was crazy. He deserves everything he got.
Now, where is he?
Downstairs in one of the rooms. My boys had to take a gun away from him and, tidy him up a little. If he's a friend of yours, tell him to forget his crazy notions and stay away from here.
Yeah, I'll tell him.
And do not get any ideas yourself, Canoy. I was here at the club last night, and Louise can prove it.
Yeah, so she can. Well, if you ever change your mind about that, you know where to find me. At the office.
Get out of here.
I'll be there all day.
I said get out and take your crazy friend with you.
I went downstairs into the empty Flamingo Club, and one of Lafarge's goons shadowed me to a small room where I found François Devin. The boys had taken care of him all right, with just a little too much enthusiasm for their work. I got him out of there and got him to a doctor, where we learned that his left arm was broken. I stayed around while they put the splints on it and then escorted him home. You feeling better now, kid?
He was the one, Monsieur Conway. He did it.
How'd you know that?
I saw the number plate. I saw it clearly.
Oh, you should have told the cops, kid. That wasn't a smart way to go about things, you know.
He killed her, and he did not stop, like you'd kill a dog. I could not think of anything but that.
You sure you got the right car number?
I know it. And after this morning, I'm certain it was him.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. Okay, now listen. You stick around here and don't try anything else. I'll send a Sergeant Lemaire around to see you, and you can tell him the story. Oui. Not that I think it'll help now. Lafarge is too smart not to cover up.
But he cannot get away with it. He must not.
Well, maybe he won't. I'm backing another hunch.
What do you mean?
A blonde with blue eyes. I've got to get back to the office in case she calls. Working on no more than a hunch, an unsure feeling that I'd seen in the eyes of the singer who called herself Louise Ferrier. I was wondering if she'd read my column like I suggested, because in that column was the story of Francois and his Fleurette and how their lives had been smashed by a speeding, reckless killer at the wheel. I had time to sit around and think, with sad irony, that there never was a story in those two kids until tragedy had put an end to their happiness. Then, 12:30 p.m., the phone on my desk rang. Mike Conoy.
Monsieur Conoy, this is Louise Ferrier.
Why, hello, Miss Ferrier.
I read your column. Look, I have got to see you.
Sure, anytime.
I finish rehearsal here at 3. May I come to your office?
I'll be waiting for you, honey. And don't be worried now. There's no crime in being a passenger, Miss Ferrier. You weren't at the wheel.
I cannot talk anymore now. I must go. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I loafed around, filling in time, waiting for Louise Ferrier. Meanwhile, there was a call from Sergeant Lemaire. He'd checked on the information given him and come up with nothing to work on. I figured it pretty much as he explained.
Like you, Monsieur Conoy, I have my suspicions, but on suspicion alone, I can do nothing.
Does Lafarge stick to that same story, that at 8 last night he was in the club?
Oui, he does. And he says that a witness will support him.
Yeah, Louise Ferrier.
Oui, the singer at his club. Mademoiselle Ferrier was not available to confirm the statement. She had finished rehearsal and left. But I expect to reach her at her apartment later in the afternoon.
Wait a minute. She's left the club already? It's only 2 o'clock.
Is there something strange about that?
Well, maybe not. But where can I reach you if I need you?
I am at headquarters. And, Monsieur Conoy.
Yeah?
A word of warning.
Oh?
If the impetuous François Devant is a friend of yours, I would talk to him. He is a very emotional, excitable man. And threatening to kill Henri Lafarge in my presence is... not of very good sense.
He did that, huh?
Several times.
Yeah, he's still in a state of shock, I'm afraid. He was roughed up pretty badly this morning.
I realize that, but he went to the Club Flamingo with a gun. So the fault is on both sides. You understand, as a friend, I would simply tell him to take care.
Well, the afternoon dragged on. 2:30, 3 o'clock, 3:30 came and went without a sign of Louise Ferrier. Then around 4 p.m., there was a knock at my door, and I called to come in, but it wasn't Louise. Sergeant Lemaire.
Conoy, mon ami, this is an unfortunate affair.
Well, what do you mean?
A great shame.
What's happened?
Louise Ferrier, the singer at the Flamingo Club. Devant told me there was a woman in the car, and that her hair was blonde. And now, in a state of shock, he has killed her.
What?
It is true, monsieur. An hour ago, we received a call. A shot had been heard in the apartment where Mademoiselle Ferrier lives.
Oh, no.
We reached there and to find her dead.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Surely not Francois.
His fingerprints were on the gun, and he was seen leaving the woman's apartment. I'm sorry, Monsieur Conoy, but it seems certain he killed her. We have placed him under arrest and charged him with murder.
Thank you. That evening early, I went to police headquarters and was granted an interview with Francois Devin. He was pretty badly shaken, but otherwise much calmer than he seemed earlier in the day. I had a question to ask him, and I asked it point blank, and I got the answer that I'd expected.
I did not kill her, Monsieur Conroy. I swear, I did not kill her.
Well, there's a pile of evidence stacked up against you, Francois.
But I had no reason to kill her. It was only her friend, Lafarge, who I wanted to kill.
All the threats you made against him have set you up as an obvious suspect for this. But there's a couple of explanations I need before I can try and do anything to help you.
What are they?
Well, first of all, your fingerprints were found on a gun beside the dead woman.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, you were seen leaving her apartment soon after the murder.
Well, that I can explain.
Well, then, come on. Let's hear it.
Well, I was at home after the police sergeant left me.
Yeah?
The telephone rang. A voice, it seemed muffled, told me to get in touch with Mademoiselle Ferrier, that she had some information to help me.
A male voice?
Oui, I think so. The voice gave me her address and told me to go there, that she would be waiting for me. So I went.
Yeah, go on.
When I reached her apartment, the front door was open. I knocked and went in. Well, that's when I saw her. She was lying there on the floor. Then I heard two gunshots from right behind me. The door slammed just as a gun landed on the floor beside my feet.
But Louise Ferrier was already dead.
Yes. I suppose I did not think. I picked up the gun and suddenly realized what I was doing and how it would look. Besides, the gun, she felt awkward in my right hand. That's when I turned and ran and, well, you know, the rest.
Yeah.
Look, you've got to believe me.
No, don't worry, Francois. I do believe you. Have you told this story to the cops?
They laughed at it.
Yeah. Did they allow you to make a statement and sign it?
No, they said to think it over and then to tell them the truth. But that is the truth.
Look, supposing I got you a pencil and paper, could you write that story out in detail just the way you've told it to me?
But this is absurd, Conroy, mon ami. I tell you, the case is open and charged.
Yeah, maybe so, Sergeant, but I'd like to try a little experiment with your permission.
Huh?
After all, you want to see justice done, don't you?
Oui, oui.
Well, then, look, give me a pencil and paper and ask Henri Lafarge to come here and make a formal identification of the prisoner. Sergeant Lemaire was far from enthusiastic, but he finally agreed. Lafarge was requested to make formal identification, which he did, and was then given the prisoner's explanation verbally, which he scoffed at, of course, with a great show of indignation. Yeah, Henri Lafarge was laying it on pretty thick.
Mon Dieu, I blame myself, Sergeant. Gentlemen, this madman here came making threats earlier today. But how could I have known these threats were directed at poor Louise?
I did not kill her.
Enough, Devin. You have had your statement. You'll get a chance in the law courts to prove it.
Just one thing I'd like to know. Lafarge, what made you let Louise go early from rehearsal with the band?
Early? I do not understand.
Wasn't she due to rehearse until 3 o'clock?
Well, no, of course not.
You might check on that with the band leader, Sergeant. You see, Louise Ferrier told me on the telephone that she wouldn't be free until after 3 p.m. That telephone call was interrupted. I've got a hunch that Louise Ferrier died soon after she put down the receiver.
You are out of your depth, Conroy. This is nonsense.
Find out from the band leader, Sergeant, whether Louise Ferrier went up to Lafarge's office and didn't return. Whether he went looking for her and was told that she'd been given the rest of the afternoon off.
Would this be correct, Monsieur Lafarge?
Well, it could be.
Mm-hmm.
I do not see that it makes much difference, though.
Now, in fact, that is what happened, isn't it?
Oui. I let her off early. She went home. And this madman killed her.
She went home already dead. You got her into her apartment and then looked for a way out. You thought of Francois, the perfect patsy. So you phoned him up, and the rest we've already heard.
Absurd. You are crazy, Conroy.
That's a favorite word of yours, Henri. Sergeant Lemaire, Maybe you'll take a look at this piece of paper. On it, you'll find a signed statement by Francois Devin telling his version of what happened.
But I have already
read it. Take it, take it. Here, take it, Sergeant. Have a good, close look.
Very well. But I do not understand. This is impossible to read. What kind of a silly prank is this, Mr. Conroy?
It's no prank. The writing's a mess. The same as you and I might make if we tried to pen a note with the wrong hand, Sergeant.
What are you saying, Conroy?
Oh, now you've got it, Lafarge. Francois's left-handed. And as you know, his left arm is broken. You should know. Your boys did the job. I think ballistics can tell us a gun was fired right-handed.
Yeah, look
by
at
a right-handed man. Well, nice unarmed combat, Sergeant. Whether ballistics can prove all that or not, I don't know. But maybe you've got all the proof you need. After that, Henri Lafarge's composure fell apart at the seams. He admitted to killing Louise to stop her from contacting me, and he confessed to trying to plant it on Francois. Well, that's the story. Marvelous what a bit of bluff can do, isn't it? Oh, I forgot to tell you. We faked that note. Francois was ambidextrous. He could have handled a pencil or a gun equally well with either hand. Goodbye now.
Have been listening to Lionel Merton as Mike Conoy in another exciting episode in the series Europe Confidential.
This is Basil Rathbone again. We've reached the end of today's story, but I'll be back to introduce to you another unusual tale. Remember, for this series, we've searched the whole world to bring you stories of every kind. Tales of espionage, suspense, crime, and intrigue. By famous writers from every part of the globe. In fact, a selection of the finest stories that have ever been assembled in one series. Well, goodbye now till we meet again to listen to another of the world's greatest mysteries.